Our study is out of Jeremiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 12, taking advantage of God's second opportunities to heed him. Though God's discipline at times falls severely on his people, for reasons known to the Lord, he graciously gives room for a few wayward people to reconsider their ways and repent and find blessing in him. That was the case in Jeremiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 12, and we view the passage for our insight and our edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 12. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive to Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this calamity upon this place. Now the Lord has brought it and done according as he has said. Because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. And now behold, I release you this day from the chains which were upon your hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come. And I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him food and a reward or a gift and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam to Mizpah and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land and had committed unto him men and women and children and of the poor of the land and of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and Johanan and Jonathan the sons of Kareah and Sarai the son of Tanhumeth and the sons of Ephi the Netophathite and Jezaniah the son of Maacathite when they and their men. And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan sware unto them and to their men, saying, Fear not to serve the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Babylonians, which will come unto us. But you, harvest the wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab, and among all the Ammonites and in Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all the places thither they were driven, and came into the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Interesting. After the fall of Jerusalem, God provided relief and sustenance for godly prophet Jeremiah in chapter 40, verses 1 through 6. When Jerusalem initially fell to Babylonian control, the steps to Jeremiah's gaining release involved his first being taken captive, along with all the other living survivors of the siege, to Ramah. At Ramah, located is about 5 miles north of Jerusalem, where deportees were screened before being sent to Babylon. The reason for this is they wanted the captives out of the area of the city of Jerusalem because they were going to destroy Jerusalem and burn it down and then take the people captive. And so that's why they were being taken up there to Ramah, so that they could be screened and then sent to Babylon. At Ramah, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, isolated Jeremiah from the other Hebrew deportees and told him that the Lord his God had pronounced the calamity that had come on Jerusalem since the people of Judah had sinned against him. I think this is a remarkable statement. This is a Babylonian official, and he is stating that, you know, your God has judged you because of your sin. Now, this official thus acknowledged his awareness of Jeremiah's prophetic message. what Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon's king, also knew well. Remember last time we had studied in Jeremiah 39, 11 to 12 that King Nebuchadnezzar had given specific orders that Jeremiah be released and that he go wherever he wants. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was not here with the forces that took Jerusalem. He's way up near the Euphrates River. But he knew, Nebuchadnezzar knew about about Jeremiah. So news apparently had spread. Maybe Jeremiah's prophecies had spread to the captives that were in Babylon, and that news had reached Nebuchadnezzar's ears, but they probably had pretty good intelligence as being a nation that they were, but they knew who Jeremiah was. Nebuzaradan is the official, then officially released Jeremiah from imprisonment in accordance with Nebuchadnezzar's edict, informing Jeremiah that he could choose either to come with Nebuzaradan to Babylon where he would care for him, or to stay in Jeremiah's native land of Judah. This is a fascinating thing. If you want to come to Babylon with me, I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Or if you want to stay here, you can stay here. You can go wherever you want. See, Babylon, all Jeremiah was an asset to the Babylonians because he had been promoting their surrendering and their submitting to the Babylonian control. And so he could do whatever he wanted. Were Jeremiah to stay in Judah, Nebuzaradan urged him to return to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon had appointed as Babylon's puppet governor of Judah, and to dwell with him in safety among the people still in the land. You might remember that some time ago, earlier in Jeremiah, this man, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was one of the men who actually helped Jeremiah. And so the Lord has blessed this man by putting him in rulership there as a puppet governor to the Babylonians. Now Jeremiah chose to stay in Judah, so Nebuzaradan gave him an allowance of food and a gift. This is probably a monetary gift, and released him. And Jeremiah went to Gedaliah to live among the people who were still in the land. You know, it's an interesting thing here. Jeremiah's plight is just the opposite of the people who had rebelled against the Lord. The people who had rebelled against the Lord either lost their lives or they were taken captive, and a lot of their goods were confiscated. Jeremiah was released and given a gift and given a food allowance. Apparently, I don't know if he was given a special ring or something that indicated he was supposed to receive a special food allowance, but as long as he dwelt there, he was going to have his needs taken care of. So it really pays to obey the Lord. That's what we're getting to. Well, in addition, after Jerusalem's fall, God also graciously let scattered refugees from the Babylonian invasion have a second opportunity to heed his will to submit to Babylonian rule. Before the Babylonians had taken Jerusalem, Jeremiah had repeatedly urged his countrymen and king to submit to Babylonian rule, to enjoy God's blessing, that this was God's will for them. I go back to Jeremiah chapter 38, and we see this. In verses 1, 2, and 3 of Jeremiah 38, we read that then Shephatiah the son of Matan, Gedaliah the son of Pashur, Jukal the son of Shelemiah, Pashur the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by disease. But he that goes forth to the Babylonians shall live, for he shall have his life for a booty or prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. And that's what Jeremiah was announcing to the people. And then later, when King Zedekiah asked him if there was a word from the Lord, then Jeremiah answered in verse 17 of Jeremiah 38, then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, in other words, surrender to Babylon, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you will live in your house. But if you will not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Babylonians, and they shall burn it with fire, and you will not escape out of their hand. So Jeremiah had given that ministry of the word, that they were supposed to submit to the Babylonians. But after Jerusalem fell, scattered units of people and soldiers were left hiding out in the open countryside, guerrilla units that had not been captured by the Babylonians. Incidentally, this has often happened in war. I was reading not long ago about an island that was captured. It had been possessed by the Japanese during World War II, but it was recaptured by the American forces. And there were two Japanese soldiers who didn't want to surrender, so they held out. And many years later, I guess decades later, that Japanese command, one of the soldiers, commanding officer in World War II, actually made a trip out there and called unto him to come out and said, look, it's time to surrender. The war's over. So only then did the man finally surrender, but he still had a very tattered Japanese soldier's uniform that he was still wearing. So he was a diehard man. Another man wanted to know if Roosevelt was dead. Of course, that had happened years and years before. And everybody assured him, yes, he's dead, so you can go back home. But it's interesting. That often happens when there's a war. War is very disorganized. It's never neat and tidy. It's always messy. And often people end up hiding out. They're not captured. Well, these remnants of Judah's people heard of Babylon's new puppet governor, Gedaliah, and of his assigned oversight of the vulnerable and poor still remaining in the land. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, where he ruled following Jerusalem's destruction, and they were looking for stability and protection. Well, Gedaliah took an oath in God's name for these people not to fear serving the Babylonians. Sounds just like Jeremiah, doesn't it? But to dwell in peace in the land that all might go well with them. Gedaliah claimed he'd been assigned as governor by the Babylonians to serve in their interests at Mizpah, and he called the guerrilla remnants to help harvest the land's late summer and fall crops and live in the surviving cities in peace. See, the farmers had been working the fields, a lot of these people probably were dead at this time, but you had all these fields, they were full, and it was late summer, it was getting ready for harvest, they needed somebody to harvest them, and they needed to keep the food during the winter. So they asked him to help. Along with these scattered remnants of Judah's people, Hebrews, you had Hebrews who had fled to Moab and Ammon, that's to the east, and to Edom, the southeast. They heard of the new arrangement of Gedaliah's administration under Babylon, so they returned from these Gentile nations to Judah and helped reap a great late summer and fall harvest. It's interesting, God in his mercy provided an abundant harvest. Isn't that something? Even though he was judging, he's still providing abundant harvest. He's giving these people a second chance, which shows that God really does not like to judge. He doesn't like to punish. He much rather blesses people. So God's initial call through Jeremiah for Judah to submit to Babylon before Jerusalem fell was being repeated. Gedaliah's call to the remnants of the people left after the fall. God was giving them a second opportunity to submit to Babylon in line with his initial will, a gracious call, one accompanied by an encouraging, bountiful late summer and fall harvest. It was a nurturing new opportunity to obey the Lord. It's like when I come into the fellowship hall on Sundays and I see that table out in the center of the hall, loaded with all sorts of produce. Like Dave was saying, they're having a tomato explosion at their house. Tomatoes, cucumbers, whatnot. There's often lots and lots of stuff. It's like in Maine, they say you have to lock your car door, otherwise it'll end up with a full of zucchini. So the lesson is, though God's severe judgment fell upon Judah in the fall of Jerusalem, he rewarded his obedient prophet and graciously gave scattered units of people and Jews who had fled to other surrounding Gentile nations opportunity anew to heed his will and live peaceably in Judah in blessing and submission to Babylonian rule. So if we obey the Lord and are blessed like Jeremiah, may we continue to heed him. But if God graciously provides us a new opportunity to obey him following severe discipline, we must heed it. Sometimes God will allow severe discipline to occur, but then he'll still give us another opportunity. That's a wake-up call. And we need to take those wake-up calls seriously and really heed the Lord. He'd much rather have us obey him so that he can bless us. Much rather do that. In fact, the Bible says God does not take pleasure in the destruction, even of the wicked. He doesn't like it. because he made people in his own image. He doesn't like to destroy anybody. But God wants us to obey him. So may we remember that and heed him.